Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by our guest speaker. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
So good to see you all. I've seen so many faces. How is it that you all look the same, but I feel like I look so much older? Is that true? Y'all look good. Y'all look good. Well, it's been about 2004, 15 years ago, we drove out of this parking lot for the last time. And it was a day, if you remember, if you were here, of a lot of emotion. And Zach, our 17-year-old, was about two at the time. It's an honor to be here. I feel like, just as I see my sister Lindsay and Mark are here, my parents are here. They came all the way from Bridgeton. when, you know, in the summertime, that is a long way, right? It's crazy. We were debating this morning in the worship team as to whether we should say, I'll raise a hallelujah, or whether we should say, I'll raise a hallelujah. I was like, there is no way we're singing hallelujah. So we voted and I won. Now in the South, it would sound a whole lot different. That's where we're from, way down the deep South of Tennessee, and we have a whole host of students and kids from all over the country. But in the South, we would say, I'll raise a hallelujah. That's pretty good. Now, I'm connected to someone who's a New Yorker, and he can do his rendition. I can't do that rendition. I am going to start my timer. I have some things I want to say. I want to pray, but I also want to stay on time. So I'm going to start my timer, and we're going to begin. I want to pray, and then I'm going to start. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love that pursues us, that follows us, that chases after us, that doesn't let us go. Thank you that you know our stories better than we know ourselves. Thank you that you know our pain better than we do. Thank you that you know our struggles better than even we do. Thank you that you are ever present, ever helpful. I pray today that you would be glorified, that the words that come from our mouths would please you, that they would fall on rich soil. God, that hearts would be open to hear a timely word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, we spent a lot of years here, a lot of laughter was in this place. I think more than any other season of my life, this place represents pure joy. Perhaps it's because it was before we had kids. And I don't mean that against my children. You just have a thing about life, a perspective about life that it's just, woo, life is awesome. And then you have your first child and you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And the potential here is to actually wreck an entire human being. And so you have this sobriety about you. It's like, oh my word, the Lord has put this child or these children in my life, and I'm going to totally screw them up. Well, that is true. You are screwing your children up. But the good news is, there's a reason for that. The reason is that, they'll turn to Jesus and not to you. Right? Because we can make ourselves the Savior pretty quick. And Jesus is like, hey, it's me over here. You're not the one that's doing all this. It's me. And so Nadia and Zach and Malachi are here. Y'all are tired. Yeah, everyone's really tired. We've had a great week. I wanted to thank Mario and Ruth and Chad and Jim just for the years and years of faithful friendship. When I look out, I just see a beautiful expression of the love of Christ. And it's a beautiful thing to see. God's working in Maine. You know, we came up here and I thought, oh, I don't know, I think he left the building, you know? Not this building, but the building of Maine. But that is not true. He's alive and well, and he's at work here. And so I want you to not grow weary in doing good. He's doing a lot of beautiful things in Maine. You know, Tennessee, we call it the Bible Belt because there's a church, well, practically on every other foot there's a church. That doesn't mean that we're a Christian state. It just, there's a lot of buildings. So thank you for your partnership. The subject I want to talk about today is suffering and the meaning of life. And it stinks, doesn't it? It's like, oh man, how could you come here with a sermon about suffering? That's terrible. But there's a real hope at the end of this message that you'll be like, I get why she started this with, what's the point? So when I say, what's the meaning of life? Does anyone have a good answer? Okay. What else? What's the meaning?
Legacy.
Legacy. Ooh, that's good. Passing on what you know, or, yeah, that's good. Meaning of life?
Purpose.
Family. Ooh, that's good. Purpose. That's good.
Love.
Love. Yes. That's good. Well, all of those are true, and the thing I want to bring to you today is this reality that because you're alive, you will suffer. It's not that you've done something wrong, although sometimes suffering is because we've done something wrong, but if you've been alive long enough, you know that there is some suffering you experienced that wasn't your fault, right? Isn't that so frustrating? It might be more frustrating when you suffer because of what you've done, right? We tend to put more shame and guilt on ourselves when our suffering is because of a choice we've made. But there is a suffering that is common to every man and every woman. And I think, I propose to you that the greatest response we have in our whole life is what we do with suffering. The greatest response. I would say even more, I mean, I know, like, responding to the love of God and realizing that you're a wrecked, wretched sinner, like, that's huge. So maybe I should say the second most important response in your whole life is how you respond to pain. And I want to talk just for a minute about worldview. Some of the students, do we have any teenagers here? A couple teenagers? You guys, look at you, you're awesome. Do you always sit in the back? No? Yes? Oh, you're usually in there, so this is even closer than, oh, that's good. Well, you're right up front then, that's awesome. So. Worldview is the way we view the world. And everyone has a worldview. If you ever hear someone say, well, I don't believe in anything, did you know that's their belief? Right? Everyone has a belief because we have to actually frame our world to actually live in it. You would go crazy if you had no worldview, like no view of how to live. And so there are a few pervasive worldviews today that are out there. I think we need to know them before we can actually just look at suffering. One of them is called hedonism. And as I was researching hedonism, on Google, Cardi B came up, and I was like, let me look a little bit at Cardi B. I don't know a whole lot about her. Does anyone know her name? Okay, so, wow, she's out there. A hedonist is someone that believes that life is all about pleasure, that the more you can get rid of your pain through pleasure, the better off you'll be. In fact, there's not really a whole lot of pain. If you just medicate it, you'll never feel it anyway. And so it's the pursuit of pleasure, self-indulgent, very unaware of anyone else except your own pleasure. And when I began to read her lyrics, I was like, oh my gosh, she's probably like the number one hedonist in America, plus a few others. And if you love Cardi B, we can talk afterwards. Another worldview is nihilism. And nihilism basically rejects the whole idea of moral truth or religious truth, anything that would make a value system that's secure. If there's a value system that's secure, nihilism says there's no basis for that. And so a nihilist would say life is pretty much meaningless. We're just these pieces of dust floating around in the world, and one day you'll land on, you know, Mars, and your little piece of dust might blow up or something. And so you have to understand that the way you view the world actually is the way you behave. The biblical worldview would say, well, there's a creator who created people, and he didn't just, you know, turn the clock and let the clock go. He's actually intimately involved in our lives. He's working with us. That he didn't create and then step back, but he created like a good father would. He created and stayed right with us. Right? This worldview that, man, we're messed up. How many of you have ever realized you're just messed up? Anybody? Who has not realized that yet? Okay, you have. Yeah, so you realize by the evidence of your own life that you have a lot of issues, right? We might say some of you have a lifetime subscription to issues. Right? It's like your whole life is all issues. And so when we just look at the human heart, we're like, yeah, the human heart is pretty dark. We've done some pretty dark things, haven't we? Yeah. I mean, if I were to say, hey, just say the worst thing you've ever done. How many of you would just be like, yes, get me up here, I want to say that? Probably not. Would you like to? Okay, not now, but maybe later. And so the Christian worldview is a little bit different from other worldviews in that it says, listen, we've gotten lost. and we know the depravity of our own heart, what are we going to do with that? How do we even reconcile the darkness and depravity of our own heart with a worldview that says, well, there's no meaning anyway, it's not even darkness, because there is no darker light. That's not darkness, that's just you. You can do whatever you want with that. That's a pretty scary place to live. If everyone had their own values and their own right and wrong, so if Chad thinks, well, I think it's right to murder people, that's my view. I mean, I'm gonna get a t-shirt that says, be me, I'm a murderer. And don't talk about it because I get my rights. Well, all of a sudden, your life is now threatened because there's a murderer in the room with no laws to keep that murderer in check, right? And so this idea of absolute truth is pivotal to our worldview. So when I'm talking about suffering, I'm really talking about it from a biblical worldview that says, listen, we've fallen short, but there is one who raises us up. We have fallen short, but there is one who raises us up. In fact, not only has he raised us up, but he himself showed us in his life what suffering and sacrifice meant. Not only does he raise us up, but he says, now you do what I did. Not by ourselves, though. He said, I'm going to give you someone that's going to help you do what I did, because you can't do what I did by yourself. Even if you become a Christian, you can't really do what I did by yourself. You need some power from on high, right? And so there's this idea, it would literally be like Jeremy and Daniel. You guys are great friends, right? Okay, it would be like Jeremy saying, Daniel, I need you to help me live better. I need you to help me get better. And Daniel's like, cool, what do you want that to look like? Well, I need you to call me. I need you to text me. I'm going to be able to tell you when I'm falling off the wagon. Will you just stand by my side? And Daniel's like, I got you. I'm by your side. And a few years later, Daniel moves, you know, somewhere else, and he's gone. And Jeremy's like, what am I going to do? I don't have anybody. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one that you have. He's the one that walks with you everywhere, through darkness, through light, through valleys, through mountains. He's the one. And so when we begin to unpack suffering, we see that the idea of suffering is common to all men. You can't escape it. You can't run, because you might be in a good place right now, but you're going to be in a fire tomorrow, right? There's this saying that you've either just walked through the fire, you're in it, or you're going to it. Have you heard that before? I mean, you might as well enjoy it. If you're not in the fire, enjoy it, because it doesn't last. Right? If you're in the fire, well, stick with it, because it's not going to last. Right? And so this idea that all men will suffer, all women will suffer, and that in the suffering we have a choice to make. There are two paths. One path leads to a worldview that's actually destructive. Because if you find no meaning, then people don't matter. If you find no meaning, then purpose doesn't matter. If you find no meaning, then you don't matter. And people that think they don't matter, they don't take care of themselves, and they don't take care of the world. And our job as believers is to actually take care of ourselves so that we can take care of the world. But we have to locate our pain. And so I'm going to say just one more thing, and then I'm going to ask Daryl to come on up. I wrote The Inheritance, the story of my great-grandfather, thinking I was going to present this awesome life, like so inspiring. Like he was Dwight L. Moody's best friend, and he wrote the song One Day, you know, living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. You know that song? He wrote the words to that song. And I'm like, man, I have a legacy, I have an inheritance, and I'm going to go after it. And so I started going after it, and it became a book. I didn't know it was going to be a book. I just went after this inheritance, and boom, there it was. It took 3 years. It was a really long labor and delivery, but it's here. That would be terrible if you had to be pregnant for 3 years. But it felt like it. And what I discovered in his life was he had incredible loss. Both his mom and dad died when he was a child. He lost two children. He lost two wives. Not at the same time. He wasn't married to two at the same time, but throughout the span of his life. The six closest people in his life he lost. And his purpose came out of his pain. And he said that in his stories, in his sermons, in his books. And I just soaked it all in, and I realized the ones who have the greatest influence are the ones who have acknowledged their pain. And they reconcile it, and they say, here it is. I'm not going to get addicted to porn to keep my pain away. I'm not going to get addicted to drugs. I'm not going to get addicted to food. I'm just going to face it. Like I told the kids, we face our storm, and we just walk into it. Because behind that is incredible purpose. And it's so cool. Come on up, Daryl. It's so amazing, because as I was writing this story, Daryl was living out what I was writing. Daryl was living out what I was writing, and I think how beautiful it is that he's about to share the message of living out of your pain to find purpose. Did I do okay?
You were great.
Good.
You were great.
I went a little bit overtime, but...
I just found out a word I never heard of that I was for a long time.
A hedonist.
Hedonist.
I knew that. I knew that.
Hedonist.
I mean, he was like into everything.
He can understand.
Okay, I gotta go. Yeah.
How about JoJo? So, my name is Daryl Mackin, and I am. Hey, howdy. How are you, brother? Welcome home. Thank you very much. It's good to be here. So I'm the founder and executive director of a Soldier's Child Foundation, and what we do is care for children who've lost a military mom or dad. And we started 10 years ago with one child, my neighbor's grandson, and we now serve over 3,500 children nationwide. And so we're here in Maine with our young leaders. All of these young adults have lost a military mom or dad. Actually, all of them have lost their dad. And I'm going to ask them to please stand up. You guys stand up. PS23 leaders, stand up. All of you. So, thank you, guys. So we've been here for a few days, and we've had a lot of adventure. And our goal was really to build family within the group, because in 3 weeks, we will be at our journey camp, where there'll be 125 kids, a lot of 8 through...
2 weeks.
Is it 2 weeks? Okay, well, all right. I'm going to have to stay to the facts, because there's some fact finders in here. So in 2 weeks, we will be at Journey Camp, and 125 kids from all over the country will come, and these guys, our PS23 leaders, will be the mentors to those kids. Isn't that cool? So one thing I want to do, and I'm not sure I didn't even plan of doing this, but today is Father's Day. And so a Soldier's Child Foundation, literally we celebrate Memorial Day every day. And I want to point out to you guys, I want to just say Happy Father's Day. And what I mean by that is that, you know, everything we do at a Soldier's Child Foundation is to show you love and care in honor and memory of your loved one gone. And so I don't want today to go by on Father's Day to not recognize that for you. And I know, you know, JoJo was talking about suffering. You all are a testament in this room of how to overcome. And in some of you, we talked the other night, you know, we're facing the storm. Some of us are still facing the storm. Some of us have gone through that storm already, and we're on the other side, right? And some of us are still there. And that's why we have each other, and we're going to continue facing it together. And that was the big deal of this whole trip here to Maine, was to build family. And I think it was... Did we do a good job with that? I think you guys did a good job with that. So I want to read a scripture verse, if you would allow me to. And those of you who have a Bible, you can open up to Matthew 5. And I'm going to start out in verse 13. Jesus speaking, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." So he's really talking about who? The believer, right? So someone that believes in him, he's saying that if you lose your saltiness, your flavor, your taste, what good are we? And I'll tell you, the first time I read that, I got scared, because I'm a chef and I know And people make fun of me. I use a lot of salt. Right? You ain't going to eat any of my food and it's going to be bland. I'm telling you that right now. If anything, I'm going to make the mistake, it's going to be over-salted. All right? You may not eat it, but hey, you know what? Whatever. So I really don't talk like this, even though I live down in the South. I still have a whatever, forget about it, and all that, because that's who I am. So, so thank you very much. So, here's the next verse, 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, Jeremy Rivera Sanchez, one of our leaders, and he talked about the question that you said was, what's ahead? And he asked me out of the blue, what's ahead for you? What is the one thing you want to do, you want to keep? And I told him, I said, one thing I think about all the time is not to disappoint God and to be this, to be the light. You know, I know before, you know, for 30 years I was a Higgism. I was a Higgism. And now Jesus Christ is in my heart and rules my life. What I want to tell you is, so that has driven me. That scripture verse. When I signed my book, I wrote a book too. You should be laughing right now. But here's the deal. It didn't take me 3 years. I got it done under a year. And I was a high school dropout. Hello. Yes, yes, yes. I'm just telling you the truth. Yes, Jeremy is correct. Thank you for pointing that out. There are a lot of pictures in my book. A lot of pictures. A lot. I have one of every view in here, this book. So, no, true fact. Hey, I didn't start my timer. Oh, crap. Sorry. Don't worry about it. Okay. So, I'm not as classy as JoJo. You all know that. So here's the truth. So in 2004, when we left, you know, we were a big part of this church. Amen? We loved being here. And, you know, I was a high school teacher, as many as you know. I taught culinary arts. And then when we went to Tennessee, our time here ended. And we knew that God had called us there, and we went. We didn't know what was around the corner. And that's something I want to say to everybody. You know, you don't know what's around the corner. If you submit yourself to God, you don't know what he's going to do. If you don't want to just be a pew sitter and you say to God, I want to see your glory, I want to live it out, I want to be the light, you don't know what's around the corner. You don't. Stay true, stay faithful to what God has put in you. Just do that. Don't stop asking God, I just want to know your will in my life. Come on. Do we not know the will of God for us? The last thing he said when he was with his disciples was what? To serve one another. To serve one another. Be the light. So, my neighbors were Henry and Faye Golzinski. And in 2007, they lost their son, Marine Staff Sergeant Marcus Golzinski, to sniper fire in Iraq. And Henry is a Christian man. And he received a lot of love from his church and his family and everything, but he's still struggling. And I want to read to you from my book, really the birth of a Soldier's Child Foundation on one night. And it's a little subchapter. It says, did it really matter, and does anybody even care? And there's a lot of pictures here, too. Just on this one page, there's some photos. It's just saying. So, okay, so stop laughing. Although we have been neighbors for some time, friends even, it was this tragic loss that I began to spend much time with my neighbor Henry. I checked in on both him and Faye often. We prayed together in the living room. We cried. We shared stories. We laughed and cried some more in those early days after Mark was killed in action. Most of the time, though, I'd see Henry come home, and I'd walk across the street to his garage where he would be sitting all alone. Some days he was emotional. Some days we sat in silence, but usually he told stories. I heard someone say once that remembering is our way of putting things back together. When we lose someone we love, Remembering is relaying special memories to another human being helps us try to make sense of it all. So I listened, and Henry remembered. Henry appreciated that we could pray together. He talked a lot about strength and ability to make it through this time. He was a man of faith, and many times he reminded me that God was going to bring his family through this tragedy. He loved and appreciated his church, and he drew a lot of strength from them and from his community. One early summer evening, as I was cleaning after dinner, I do that, by the way, I clean the dishes, JoJo doesn't. I look out the window. I got the mic, you don't. I looked out the window to see Henry arrive home. I finished washing dishes, I do that all the time, and walked across the street as I stepped into Henry's garage where he had been smoking a cigarette. I could tell he wasn't in a good way. Before I could even greet him, he held up his hand in my face to stop me. He said to me, "Did it really freaking matter?" he blurted out. "And does anyone even give a damn?" And without another word, he walked inside his house, letting the door shut on my silence. I turned and walked out, but I didn't go home. I just kept walking through our neighborhood. My mind was abuzz with all of Henry's pain and suffering. Mark is gone, Henry's grief, my helplessness. I always thought of Henry as a Christian patriot, and I consider myself one as well. I am a Christian. I served my country in the United States Navy for 6 years. I wasn't the best at it, but I did love it. And I have always loved and respected those who serve our country and wore the uniform. During my walk, I realized that I never once in all my years thought of the families left behind. It hit me hard. If I'm not thinking about them, who is? Henry's questions are the ghosts that haunt the loved ones left behind. I've heard them 1,000 times in 100 different ways. Did it really matter? Does anybody even care? That day, those questions followed me out the garage and walked with me around the block. I guess they haven't left me. So after that, what we did was celebrate Christian's 10th birthday. Many of you have seen this photo before. This is my neighbor's grandson, Christian Golzinski, who's now 21 years old, attending Alabama. University of Alabama. And we celebrated his 10th birthday. And then we heard about another child in Rutherford County that had lost a father. And then we grew to 4 kids, and then 10, and then 100. And at 400, I had to resign from teaching and go to Soldier's Child full time. And as I said, we now serve 3,500 children. We celebrate over 200 birthdays every single month. We spend $30,000 a month on birthday gifts, celebrating these kids' lives in loving memory of their father and mother that have paid the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that everyone in this room get to live out. I often say to the kids, Jesus says he leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Do you know 99% of our country, the citizens in our country, do not defend the freedoms they get to live out? 1% of our population defends the freedom of the 99. And what I say to the kids all the time, I keep saying the same thing over and over again. Do I shake your head if you heard it once before? What I say to you is that through a Soldier's Child Foundation, you're the one. You're the one. At Journey Camp in 2 weeks, thank you, in 2 weeks, all those 100 kids, they're the one that God's coming after through a Soldier's Child Foundation. We're not like any other organization. We preach the gospel. We do. I want to show you a video. It's a quail. We do a quail hunt. So we do 15 camps and this year alone. And this is a video I want to show you. And it really shows you our kids, their suffering, their pain, and triumph.
On a cold January day in Nolensville, Tennessee, 10 children who have lost a military parent have gathered with the Soldier's Child Foundation for a hunting excursion. With their hunting guides and dogs, they are hunting the elusive quail. It is a time for these kids to come together to experience a day of adventure, relationship building, and find a sense of healing for their hurting hearts.
My dad's name is Keith Coe.
Stephen Benjamin Ayala.
Levi Johnson.
Nathan Charles Pollard.
Mark Rogers.
James Richard Schock II. I was about 1 year, 18 months, something like that.
12.
5.
I was 3 years old.
He got shot in the head.
A seizure of unknown origin.
He committed suicide.
Gunshot.
A bomb.
Our country has many criteria for what qualifies children as at risk. The children of our fallen American defenders of freedom are often overlooked as they face anger and abandonment issues, resentment, and many other emotions, all while growing up in a single-parent home.
Well, I think it's very important to do it because it's a healing for a lot of young people. It's an opportunity for kids to get together that have the same sort of home life situations, their parents being in the service or may have lost someone in the service. And it's just a great opportunity for them to get together. You know, they need to know that they're not alone out here in the world and that there's other people that are going through some of the same things they do. And a lot of things that they do to find out that things are okay, to move forward in that.
The love, honor, and hope that these children need is now accessible through a Soldier's Child Foundation. ASC hosts numerous camps and events each year, bringing hundreds of Gold Star children together. Through respect and empathy, the children of our fallen know that they are not alone.
It hurts me so bad that I want to see him.
Well, every night I kind of just pray over him, hope that he's watching down on me. I've had some rough times back and forth, but I think I've had a good life so far.
I don't get to do as much stuff. I feel lonely.
It's been difficult. I mean, it's been different than most people. Hard to grow up with other kids, make friends. Got bullied a lot in school.
They care about you, Danny. You're not alone, Danny. You're not, buddy. The pain you feel, the hurt that you have in your heart sometimes, all of us are here for one reason, buddy. We're always here for you. You're not alone through the hardships you have. Listen to me, buddy. You gotta remember this. Come over here. This is the truth. This is the truth. That's why a soldier's child exists. It's the truth, bud. That's why we exist.
All right.
You did a good job, buddy. I know it's hard. But you know what? If you don't answer those questions sometimes and you don't feel the way you do right now, you never get to it. You never get to it. It always stays on the shelf. You don't deal with it. You're dealing with it. And in the end, you know that people love you and care about you. That's strength, man. That gives you hope. Am I right? Yeah.
Help ASC help them by making them number one on your list of giving. They deserve it. Together, we can show them that they do matter and we do care. For more information, visit asoldierschild.org and follow ASC on social media.
Thank you. So, yeah. So at this time, I'd like to bring up one of our PS23 mentors, Miss Larima. Larima Citron, who's from Puerto Rico. Come on up. So Larima is going to talk to you guys a little bit about her life, a soldier's child, her dad, and yeah. So say hi to Larima.
Hi. So my name is Larima Citron, as Daryl said, and I've been in the program for a few years, but I started coming to camps 2 years ago, and I can definitely say that it has changed my life and my point of view, Because even though I was a Christian since I can remember, I went through a rough path after I lost my dad. And a soldier's child helped me through it. And one of the things that I love most about a soldier's child is that the Lord is the heart of it, and that he's the one that's actually running a soldier's child. And a few months ago, I got the opportunity to write a song that tells basically my testimony. And 8 years ago today, I lost my dad. And I didn't really understand why. I found myself crying in my room most of the time, even while being a Christian, but God helped me through it, and a soldier's child helped me through it. And I came to realize that I had two fathers now, that one I talked to in my heart and the other one I talked to on my knees. And that's basically what my song was about. And that's my life.
Can you just recite some of your verses of your song?
Sing it?
Lori Mar.
Rachel. Rachel. So I'm going to sing a little of the song with my friend Rachel Washima. I got two fathers in heaven, and they both watch over me. One I talk to in my heart, one I talk to on my knees. All I do now is count my blessings. I got two fathers in heaven.
She did not know I was going to ask her to do that. So, all right. So, I'm done, sweetie. Come on up. Back to JoJo. Woo! And by the way, I just want to point out, I stayed on time. Just saying. I'm not listening to anything you're saying right now. I just said.
I think you started his timer late on purpose. What were you going to say? Nothing? Whew. Thank you, Lorimar. That's really important. And what I want to just take a few moments to talk about is the power of our story. There is there's nothing like telling your story. There really isn't. And I think the thing that we love as not just Americans, but as people, we love stories, right? Yeah. I mean, we don't love math so much, right? Some of you love math. The thing about story is you find yourself in it, in any story. It's why we love Lord of the Rings. It's why we love Marvel and Endgame, because we can find ourselves in the story. Sometimes we're the villain, creating a lot of chaos, right? And sometimes we're the hero. Who rescues the day? Sometimes we're just the comic sidekick who lightens the tension of the pain or the suffering that's happening. And so this idea that our story is full of loss and pain and suffering, but it's also full of victory and triumph, and that it's important to know our story. And while Lorimar was speaking and while Daryl was speaking, there was a point in the beginning of A Soldier's Child when I looked at Daryl and I said, you know that father wound you have? He's like, what father wound? You know that big hole in your heart? Because your dad wasn't there. God's filling that. And you're becoming a father to many that you never got to experience. And he hadn't located that in his own life. He didn't see that. So his lens, his filter, wasn't putting this idea of not having a father into account. He was just like this, you know, strong man of machismo from New York. You know, he's going to plow through life. Just get it done. But wouldn't you say that that moment that you were able to locate that pain, that you didn't even know you had, it was in that moment that your vision shifted a little bit. It shifted a little bit, and it took someone else looking into his life to say, I think that could be part of this, your story. And that's what it takes, is us looking at each other and saying, hey, there's a story that you're not telling that's meant for the world. Or maybe it's just meant for your children. Maybe you're just supposed to start telling it yourself. And the thing that I love about the story is there's always conflict, right? In a really good story, you have incredible conflict. I mean, who wants to read a story where there's no, you know, rising and falling? That's the newspaper, right? We don't want to read the newspaper all the time. Although that is dramatic. It's not the kind of drama we want. We don't look for that, right? And so the other night I was talking to the kids about the storm and how when we look at our pain, when we face it, it shrinks. But when we turn away, it grows bigger and bigger and bigger until there's a monster in the room called your pain. And it will either overcome you or you will overcome it depending on what you're facing. Do you see what I'm saying? So there's maybe the pain of divorce and you've never dealt with it. Maybe you were young and your parents got divorced and you've always felt this hole or you've felt this bitterness or this anger. And you go back and you say, God, what is it that's holding me back? Because if we're not right, we can't help anybody else. You know, it's like, I know that I call myself beautifully broken. But I know that about myself. And I know my blind spots. I know my weaknesses. I know where I get tripped up. But I've had to dig into the soil of my life and say, that's what tripped me up. That's where I started to believe a lie about myself. And I'm going to go back there and I'm going to reconcile that moment. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you don't go back and make reconciliation with your past, you actually can't move on to your future. And if you can't move on, how are you going to help other people? I mean, do you know anybody that's bitter? How many of you know a bitter person? Ooh, they're not fun to be around, are they? They're bitter because they haven't reconciled their pain. They just, it's like this open wound. And it's infectious. In the way that you're going to call the Center for Disease Control. It's like put them in a place by themselves because nobody wants to be around that. And we have a lot of bitter Christians and they're preaching the gospel, but their hearts are full of bitterness, right? And you see that. We can see that. I've been that way. It's like, man, I don't want to be that way because I pollute everything around me, but I use the gospel to make it all better. And that doesn't really work, right? And so these kids over here, they're in a storm. But you have a lifeboat, right? You've got a lifeboat. And I would imagine it's not just you young people who are in a storm or who have had incredible pain. Would you say around the room that some of you have suffered incredible pain? Not by your doing. How many of you, just raise your hand, how many of you just in this year would say, I've had a lot of pain just this year? That's a lot of you, a lot of pain. If we were to take buckets, and I were to say, y'all, we're going to put all of our pain into a bucket. How big would that bucket be? Maybe the size of Texas, because that's pretty big. Or bigger. Now, can you imagine a God who says, I'm going to take every tear that you ever, ever cried. Now, how many of you know how many tears you've cried? 96. A few of those were today already, I bet, because I cried too. He says, I'm going to take all of that, all of those tears, and I'm going to do what? He puts them in a bottle, in a jar, right? Is that so he's going to show you in heaven, ha-ha, I got you, look at all your sadness. What does he do with them? I actually don't know the answer. I like that one, though. But the very fact that he knows every tear is enough for me. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't know every tear my child has cried. And it would be weird if I just sat there every time she cried, held out a bottle. I was like, one, two, three. For a few of my kids, it would take a long time, you know? I'd be counting a lot. For you guys, I mean, if you can imagine, how many buckets would it take for you to collect your tears? quite a lot? Yeah. So collectively around this room, we have a whole lot of pain. And I love this idea that you're in a storm, and when you face it, you face your pain, you say, that was the moment I became addicted to alcohol. I know it. And then you go back and you start retracing your steps. And then all you do is you say to God, that was the moment, God, you were there. I didn't know you were there. That's why I turned away. But you were there. And so now I'm going to live not from that place, but I'm going to live from this moment. Because I realized, it was like revelation. Whoa, I realized all my shame came from that moment. And now I call it out and I just say, yep, that's where it happened. And I'm going to tell someone that. I'm not just going to keep it in. I'm going to tell someone. And you don't have to tell everybody everything, although I did, if you read my book. Oh, it's so embarrassing. But I know that it brought freedom to people. Because I've had so many people come to me and say, oh, my word, that was my story. We were living the same life. I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool. Because now you realize you're not alone in your shame, right? When we know we're not alone, we actually can move on and find healing. And so I just wanted to offer this time. We're closing. I want to close us out, but I want to give a moment to just, maybe you just need to acknowledge some pain. And maybe some of you, how many of you would say, I'm in it right now? Like, I'm in it right now. I'm facing something that's bigger than me. Quite a few of you, yeah. You have a choice. Not in what's going on, but you have a choice in how you respond. One path actually leads to more suffering. If you choose the path that says, just go eat, just go drink, go watch Netflix all day, just do whatever makes you feel good, that is a choice you have. But it actually leads to more enslavement and more bitterness. The other choice is you just face it head on and you face the one that stands behind it. Do you know there's one standing behind your storm? Who is that? He's like, come on, get on the boat. I've got this. You can keep on running, but the storm's not going to go away. And then you'll have a day when you're not in the storm and you're going to look at someone who is and you're going to be able to say, I was there. And I know how to help you out. And this is what we're trying to do with you beautiful young people. It's like, man, we haven't tasted the pain that you've tasted, but we still can help you, you know? We can show you the way to go to the best of our ability, but then you get to choose. You get to choose. I don't know if you know who Nietzsche is, but he was a German philosopher, and he said, the moment a country or a culture takes God out of their existence, the moment they say God is dead, two things happen: violence and war, and a universal insanity. And I think we're living in some of that, even in our own hearts. It's like when we deny that there's something beyond us to live for, we actually become even more bitter and more confused on the inside. And yet we call it freedom. It's like, yay, we're finally free from that tyrant. He's like, all along, I'm not the tyrant, I'm the good, good father who's showing you a way to go. But you have a choice. You can go off that path and get lost in the woods. Or you can stay there and just walk with me. And it's so fun. I mean, those of you that are walking with God, it's pretty awesome. You get to do a lot of crazy adventures, don't you? In the midst of your pain and suffering, we get to do a lot of adventures. And so I want Daryl to come on back up. Maybe we'll stand here. I hope that what you've heard today, maybe we need to move back. Should we go?
That's good.
Oh, would you stay down? Yeah. Yeah, that's better. Just kidding. You can come back up. I do hope that what you've heard is this idea of suffering is common to us all. That the pain we encounter, we don't have to be so afraid of it. I'm moving away because the feedback is feeding back. That your story matters, but you have to know your story to know where you are, to be able to go forward. You got to know your story. Which means you've got to do some digging, and then you've got to tell your story to somebody. And that's what these kids are doing. And remember the other night at the fire when some of you started to tell your story, what happened? What happened around that fire pit? You got closer, right? What were you going to say?
More stories.
More stories came. One person started, and then the stories just started coming and coming, and they were telling stories about how their father died. That's not their only story. They have a whole life of stories left to live. That's one part. And so I just want to open this up. I wonder if Jim would just come, if he's still in here. Maybe we just have a guitar playing. I did just want to open this up. If the ministry team wants to come forward. Some of you have a lot of pain, and you're going to have to deal with it. And sometimes just having someone to say, will you pray for me? I'm kind of at a loss is really helpful. Yeah. So let's stand. I just want to encourage you, if you need prayer, that there's a ministry team up front. If you're facing a storm that's too big for you to handle, there's some people up here that would love to pray for you. And let's just close our eyes. I just want to give us a moment to acknowledge what God has done. Father, we are desperate for you. We're desperate for your love, for your forgiveness, for your kindness. We don't want to run. We don't want to hide. But we're afraid of facing you. And so I pray for a confidence today, a confidence that says in our hearts that we know that we are loved. We know that we are cared for. And I just want to make this call before we go because I think it's important. I don't want to leave here and someone be feeling like the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, you need to get right. Is there anybody that just is like, I just need to get right? Like, I'm a little bit off. I love God. I just need to get right. Is there anybody, if you just would raise your hand, that just needs to be reminded that you're not alone? Anybody? Quite a few of you just need to be reminded that you're not alone. Just by a show of hands, do any of you just need I just need a touch from God. I've forgotten, and I just need to know what I'm doing is the right thing. Does anybody need that? Just some confidence. Like, I'm doing something, but I need to know that this is what I need to do. A lot of you just raised your hand. So, Father, thank you. Thank you that it's impossible not to respond to your word. For those that feel far away from you, in a moment, their gaze can turn to you and you can be with them. I pray that right now for those that raise their hand. And God, for those facing a big storm and they feel alone, send your presence. Send your Holy Spirit right now to minister to them. And God, for those that just need confirmation, so come on up if you need some prayer for any of that or maybe for something else. I'm just going to invite you to come up. We have people up here that are willing to pray. And God, we need you. We love you. We thank you. If you feel alone, come up and let someone pray over you that you would feel connected again. Thank you.
While we have ministry time going on, we're going to continue to pray for people here. So if you want prayer, please come on up. We're going to stay and pray and minister to people. But I just want to say this. We want to give you an opportunity to give a love offering to a Soldier's Child Foundation. So there's a little kind of bureau, white bureau thing on the left there with a couple of wicker baskets. And if you would like to give a donation to a Soldier's Child Foundation during our coffee and fellowship time before you leave. You can do that on your way out. And I also want to say that Daryl and Johanna will be sticking around at the back of the room. There are tables with their books on. You can purchase their books this morning. They'll sign them for you. They're willing to take photographs with you if you want to do that too. Okay? So, Father, we just thank you this morning for your presence in this place. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the word that we've heard this morning, the words that we've heard. Lord, may they go deep and resonate in our hearts, that you are with us in the storm, that you will cause us and enable us to face the storm. You will bring us through the storm, that we might then empathize with others, give the comfort to them that you have given to us. Lord, we love you, we bless you, we thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' precious name, we pray this morning. Amen.